Welcome to Jalen and Jacoby. It is with sadness that we start the show with the report, which you've likely already heard, that Eldrick Tiger Woods was involved in a single car crash in the Los Angeles area early yesterday morning, suffered severe bodily harm, specifically to his right leg, and he is being worked on and is recovering. Jalen, please speak on behalf of not just us two, but the entire Jalen and Jacoby family.
We just wanted to send prayers and well wishes to Tiger Woods and his family during this really difficult time. When I initially saw the car and the damage that was done, unfortunately, I thought it would be fatal. I'm glad that it isn't. Hopefully he has a speedy recovery, a healthy recovery, and we just wanted to acknowledge that.
Well put, Mr. Rose. Let's start the show. Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby.
What is it that we do? We make sure we give the people what they want.
Well, the NBA gave us the All-Star reserves, and we'll start with the East Coast. Take a look at these players. While every single one of these Eastern Conference players has had a great year, there seems to be maybe a couple tweaks that you would like to make, Jalen. What's that?
Now I'm going to show you how the East Coast rocks. A couple of things. The Boston Celtics have two All-Star reserves, and they're under 500. That has never happened in the history of the NBA. Brad Stevens is going to be on the hot seat. The second thing I want to say about the reserves is Google when Julius Randle got traded to the Knicks. There was one multimedia personality that said when he got to the East, he was going to be an All-Star. That was me. I actually thought it was going to happen last year, but it's happening this year. And as happy as I am to be right, and as happy as I am that the Knicks are playing better basketball, Domantas Sabonis should have Julius Randle's spot. You know it, and I know it. And I'm going to tell you how this works. Tom Thibodeau is a coaching veteran around the league, and he has relationships with other coaches who vote. More relationships than the Pacers coach. That's the only reason why Randle is in over Sabonis. Period, point blank. Yes, one plays in New York and one plays in Indiana, and you could go to the large market thing and all of that. But the coaches actually vote. The same coaches decided that they were going to put in Julius Randle and reward him in the Knicks, but not Sabonis, who's basically getting the same numbers on a better team without Caris LeVert. Okay? And so I'm a little disappointed that the coaches went this route. In particular, for a squad that traded Victor Oladipo, it doesn't matter what happens with Indiana. Sabonis has been consistent the entire season.
Well, don't feel too bad for Sabonis, Pacers fans, because I feel like this year we might have some replacement players, and I think that he would be at the top of the list. And that is a similar situation with what's going on in the Western Conference. When you look at the Western Conference reserves, there is a name not listed that was pretty shocking to you and I. And who is that, Mr. Rose?
Devin Booker should be on for Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. CP did a great job of resurrecting his name the last couple of years. And I'm going to show you guys how being a public figure works. If Carmelo Anthony doesn't get picked up by the Portland Trailblazers, his reputation is a lot different than it is right now. You remember when Chris Paul was a member of Lob City? They had championship expectations. They didn't meet him. The media and the public slandered his name. You remember when Chris Paul's next stop? Houston. They had championship expectations. They didn't get done. The media slandered his name. He reinvented himself in OKC, not only with terrific leadership and play, but with lower expectations. And so those expectations and Phoenix going well in the bubble allows the Suns to say, now let's go for it. Because we have Devin Booker, our go-to guy, our actual all-star, allows us to bring in Chris Paul and bring in Crowder to go with the other players that we've drafted in order to possibly do something special. And for those that haven't been paying attention, if the Phoenix Suns were in the Eastern Conference, they'd be the number one seed. Devin Booker should be voted on the All-Star team. I'm disappointed in the coaches.
Absolutely, and I also feel like Sabonis, Booker will eventually play in Atlanta, perhaps some others as well. But just minutes from now, on the jump, they will be announcing the rest of the NBA schedule. And Jalen, do you think they should extend the All-Star break beyond the traditional All-Star break to accommodate this odd season?
Yes, they should, because the top players are the ones that it taxes the most, not the squads that weren't invited to the bubble, not the squads that aren't in the playoff hunt already this year. The top all-stars are the ones that actually need and deserve the break. If they play a basketball game, have a skills challenge, a dunk contest, and all those festivities on a Sunday, they should at least get 7 full days off after that. Don't be surprised. And J&J, it's going to be breaking news for you fans. When you look at the bottom of the ticker and you realize that the players are trying to get that window from the 5th to the 10th extended from the 5th to the 14th, stay tuned.
We will stay tuned because on the jump, they will reveal the rest of the schedule. But Jalen, there were some games last night, and there was one game in particular that had me on the edge of my seat, and it was Luka Doncic hitting not just the game winner, but also the before the game winner hit this huge step back three, and then from the exact same spot as he shot down the Clippers, he had two Celtics defenders on him and hit the game winner. Jalen, Luka's Mavs have been a little bit below expectations, but what have you seen from him last night and this season that's been encouraging?
You know how when great players, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, when I watched them play, initially as young players, and then all of a sudden they start to figure it out. And we use the term the game slows down to them. That's how Luka plays the entire time. Like the game is slowed down to him. And he has the height and the bulk to finish in the paint and not rush, because he's not going to finish above the hoop. He's just not that kind of an athlete. And so he's playing in all phases, Jacoby. He's playing at the three line. He's playing at the top of the key. He's playing in a free throw line area. He's playing in a box area. And you know what else? That gentleman is fearless. And when you really look at the Mavs roster, when you really look, I was watching this game. The Celtics have a better roster than the Mavs. As a matter of fact, most of the teams that the Mavs play have a better roster than the Mavs. So for Luka to play the way he's been playing and to be starting in the All-Star game, it is truly outstanding how he's grown as a player.
It really is. And he also seems to love those clutch moments, like the person he's been compared to over the past week, Dame Lillard. Now, Jalen, the final score will not represent exactly how close this game was between the Kings and the Nets. And James Harden, again, a triple-double, seems to be playing some of the best basketball of his career. What has been so good about this fit with Harden?
Quiet as it's kept, James Harden and Luka play really similar in a lot of ways. James is a volume three-point shooter as a member of the Rockets. But once he came to the Nets, they're literally charged with almost doing the same thing for their teams, except Luka is charged to score more. And I appreciate the fact that James still gets other players involved. And we talked on this show about Brown, and he's a former Detroit Piston. And you know, I watched him close, and I told you that he plays deep. But he also hustles. He cuts. He does all of the dirty work things that you don't expect your star players to do. You know Joe Harris is going to spot up and shoot three, but you still need somebody else that's going to mix it up. And at his height, that's actually what he's given them, and it's been refreshing, in particular without KD and Jeff Green.
What you're seeing right there is Bruce Brown realizing he had 29 points. And I think he's mad because I was watching this game and Kyrie Irving was setting him up, set him up for another three. And he had a wide open, naked baseline three to take him over 30 that he missed. But Bruce Brown, he's like my height. He's like 6'3", 6'4". They use him as a role man in the pick and roll. Like, you would think that'd be DeAndre Jordan, that would be some other players, but they use him as a role man and it's working for them. And he gets so many layups because when you have James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and soon to be Kevin Durant, that just opens up the three-pointers for Harris. They draw so much defense that someone like Brown, who was on your Pistons, can really thrive and put up numbers like 29 points in the game, and he does so much that doesn't show up in the box score, much like a Draymond Green, and plays tough defense. Jalen, we have an all-star joining us on the program right after this. Who is that man, Jalen Rose?
Nikola Vucevic. is joining the show. Shoot, 40% from three as well.
Fuji Mane, I haven't heard that. He's joining us right after this.
Lift every voice and sing.
The shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin, prompted NBA players to boycott playoff games. Turning anger into action, they convinced several owners to turn arenas into polling sites for the upcoming election. The initiative came to fruition a few months later, when the 2020 election had one of the highest turnouts of African-American voters in history.
Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport District of New York City and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, who is joining us on the show right now?
Nikola Vucevic of the Orlando Magic. And Jacoby, here's what I like. He's going to give me 24 points a game. He's going to give me almost 12 boards and shoot 40% from three. Anybody that watches this program, I tell you, not only is he one of the best players in the league and deserves to be an all-star, when you start talking about top centers, put some respect on his name.
There he is right there. Nikola, thank you so much for joining the show. You were announced as an all-star reserve yesterday. What does it feel like to be an all-star for the second time?
It's an amazing feeling. A huge honor to be selected among, some of the best players in the league for my second time, especially. I was an all-star 2 years ago, so it's great to be back. I'm very proud of it. And, obviously, a huge thank, to my teammates and the coaching staff for putting me in a position to succeed.
Big fella, thank you for joining the show. And as I mentioned, you're amongst the league leaders in not only two-point field goals, because you got a great post game and a mid-range game, but also three-point field goals. How has the game evolved for a big man like yourself?
Well, over the last, 5-6 years, the game has definitely changed. The three-point shot has become, a huge part of the game. Teams really look for that. And, at first, I wasn't shooting many threes. It was always almost forbidden for big men. You could maybe name a handful of guys that were shooting threes. And, I think like 4 or 5 years ago, talking to, back then it was Frank Vogel, was our coach. He had suggested that I extend my range to 3-point shot because I was already one of the best mid-range big men in the NBA. And, at first I was a little uncomfortable. It was, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it and how it would work. But, once I started working on it consistently, I saw that, it could be something I could get to. And it took, 2-3 years for me to, get comfortable shooting that shot. I think also for my teammates to get used to me taking that shot and for us to kind of understand that it's just going to be part of how we play. And I think last year obviously was a big turning point for myself, and especially in the playoffs here against Milwaukee, when I was making three, four threes a game, and I saw the impact that it had. And so coming to this year, I knew that if I can continue that, it'd have a huge impact not only on myself but also on our team. And I think definitely has. And I think with the team that we have and a lot of guys that are very good drivers that are good cutters, it opens up the paint. I take the big man out of the paint with me, and there's so much more spacing to play. And I mean, me, it's also helped me obviously with the shot itself, but also driving to the paint, making plays for myself and others. So it's been a huge addition to my game for sure.
You and your teammates have a game against the Nets tomorrow. How do you game plan against such an explosive offense that features Kyrie and Harden?
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be one of the toughest games we've played this year. We saw them once. Kyrie was out, but they had KD, so I'm not sure if KD plays tomorrow or not. But even without him, obviously, when you have James Harden and Kyrie Irving, along with all the other players they have, it's going to be a very tough team to prepare for. But for us, like every game, but especially tomorrow, we just have to bring it defensively. Obviously, we know that we're not going to go in there and outscore them. We have to limit them as much as we can on the offensive end, and then take it from there. But they've been playing great ball. They're probably playing best ball with Utah in the NBA right now. So it'll be a big test for us, but one we're looking forward to. We've been playing better the last few weeks, so hopefully we can have a good game tomorrow as well.
What do you feel like it's going to take for your squad that's currently outside the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference to solidify itself as a playoff team? What would you like to see happen on the floor with your team?
I think for us, you know, we have games when, you know, we play really well defensively, and it helps our offense as well. And then we have games when we just don't bring it enough. You know, we do it for maybe quarter or two for a couple of minutes here and there, but it's not for 48. And we're just not that team that can do it. You know, you have some great teams that, you know, they play okay for two, three quarters, and then they just kind of turn it on in the end and able to win. We don't have that luxury. And it's what happened last night. You know, we had three great games where we played, you know, great ball against three very good teams, and we were able to get three wins in a row. And last night, we just didn't have that. And so I think what we need to understand is that for us, it has to be every night. You know, we can't have, you know, a night off for sure, but not even a quarter off or something. We have to play well on a defensive end every game. That's where our chance is going to be. And when we defend well, you know, we give ourselves a chance. So that's what it has to be. I know it doesn't sound like, you know, fun ball all the time. You know, everybody wants to go, especially nowadays, out there and, you know, score 120 and have these huge scoring games, but that's just not how we are. That's not how we built. And especially with all the injuries, you know, things have changed for us. So I think we can do it. You know, hopefully we understand. And like I said, we have made strides in the last couple of weeks, and hopefully we can continue to do that.
You've done so much for the city of Orlando and the franchise. You put up huge numbers. You're a two-time All-Star, yet you still end up in trade rumors from time to time. What does it feel like to hear your name potentially in a trade?
I was traded once. I was after my rookie year. It was a while ago. It was over the summer. But it's part of it. I mean, last 2 years, I didn't hear as many rumors. But before that, I felt like it was almost every day was something new. I was going here or there, or it was in the same place, different packages. It was a lot of things. And at first, you know, you're like, why me? But then eventually you just understand it's part of the business. And it's what happens. You know, teams make trades all the time, and, you know, they look, you know, to, you know, restart or making themselves better. So it's just part of it. I mean, I honestly don't pay attention much to it because I have no control over it. You know, it's whatever the team decided to do. And I saw some rumors. Usually people send them to me. I don't really, you know, try to go look for them. But, you know, I don't know, it doesn't really affect me much. You know, for now, I'm here and I'm happy to be here. You know, if something was to happen, I don't know if the rumors are true or not. You know, you just have to move on and go with it. But, you know, it's not something that I pay attention to it much.
Big fella, like all fans and multimedia that enjoy the game, you saw the All-Star starters be announced. You saw the reserves be announced. Is there a player in the Eastern or the Western Conference that you felt like got snubbed?
I think in the East, I don't know if, you know, we can say snub because, you know, many players deserve to be in it. And there was going to be for sure a guy that, you know, was going to left out that obviously, you know, was going to feel disappointed. But, you know, obviously, like Sabonis, he's had a great year and, you know, he deserved to be in it. You know, Tobias Harris, you know, he deserved to be in it. But it was a lot of people that, you know, had a great season. I don't remember last, you know, few years, or even since I've been in the NBA, there's been as many people that can make it, especially in the East. I mean, even like Trae Young, he's put up some big numbers. And so it's Middleton also. So it's a lot of guys, but, you know, I think the guys that made it, they also deserve to make it. So that's why I don't know if we can really use the word snub. Mm-hmm. In the West, I mean, I'm surprised, you know, that Devin Booker didn't make it. I mean, he's been having a great year. You know, Phoenix has been great this year as well. But, I mean, it's every year, I mean, there's people that you can say, you know, they've been snubbed or deserve to be in it. They weren't, but doesn't mean that the guy that's in it, you know, doesn't deserve to make it. It's just, it's hard. It's only 12 spots. There's so many, you know, players mm-hmm. that play great every year. And so it's difficult. I think every year you're going to feel like somebody should have made it. I didn't. So it's not easy, you know, for coach to decide for sure.
My co-host Jalen Rose has never seen Star Wars. Has never seen a single Star Wars. I know you're a Star Wars fan. Please tell him why he needs to see Star Wars.
I mean, I feel like with Star Wars is, you know, people either love it or just, you know, don't give it even a chance. My only problem is when people don't see it and tell me it's not good. I'm like, you haven't seen it. You can't say that. I mean, to me, the movies, you know, obviously, just don't watch the new ones. That's my main advice. But the old movies, I think, is just, there's so more to it than just the actual movie. I feel if you get into the story and everything behind it, I mean, to me, it just goes, you know, on and on forever. But you have to be into that type of, you know, storyline and that type of stuff to enjoy it. So if you're not, you know, you're not going to enjoy it, so don't watch it. But I only have a problem when people tell me, oh, it's not good. But I'm like, you haven't even seen it. How do you know? If you don't want to see it, if you like those stuff, I'm fine with it. But, you know, it's a constant battle. It never ends.
But I
for
know
somebody
dad...
like me who hasn't seen Star Wars, can you describe to me a couple of your favorite characters?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite character is Darth Vader. So he started off as a Jedi. I'm going to use some Star Wars language so if you don't understand.
Good.
But he was a Jedi, so he was on the good side. And then, you know, but he had all this, you know, fight within himself, you know, because he was missing his mom. He was in love with this girl, but it was forbidden to him because he's a Jedi. And then he eventually turned to the dark side because of that. So to me, why I like, you know, him, obviously he's a very cool character. And once he turns to Vader, he has his cool voice and he breathes and he has like a mask and armor and he's half man, half robot. But just the story that got him to where all the, like, the stuff that, like I said, the deeper stuff of Star Wars, how he turned to the dark side and all the deep stuff inside him that hurt him. I mean, I read a bunch of comics on him and things like that, so I really know his story. Then you really kind of feel for the guy, so that's the main reason I really like him.
Just one last question. I know that your father played professional basketball, and you played professional basketball, and you've got a young son. How is his game developing so far?
So as of lately, he's been he's 26 months now. So he watched my games before he goes to bed, like first quarter or so. And since he's been watching them, he has a little hoop, so he'll go and play and try to do what I do. So it's not bad. He's really tall. He's really big for his age. So he has that at least, but we'll see. I mean, obviously, you know, I'd love it if he wants to, you know, play ball as well. I won't force it upon him, but I think it'll just come naturally. But right now he's been, you know, trying to play, you know, obviously as much as he can, but it's not bad. He has a solid little touch. He seems to be lefty, which is more on his mom, but, you know, that's not bad. A big man lefty, you know, it could be tough to guard.
Well, congratulations on making it yourself, and I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to join us in Jalen and Jacoby.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. And we appreciate the love.
Nikola Vucevic is not the only Nikola tearing up the league. We'll discuss the other one in the Western Conference right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Lots of Lakers coming up on ESPN. It is them versus the Jazz tonight at 10 p.m. And then on Friday night at 10 p.m., it is up against the Trailblazers. And then to wrap up the weekend, LeBron and the Lakers face Steph and the Warriors. All that is on ESPN. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Nikola Vucevic is not the only Nikola tearing up the league. The Blazers had nothing for Jokic last night. He put in 41. Jalen, how do you stop this guy?
I try to help you all I can, but I can't do nothing for you, man. You can't stop the Joker. And here's the thing I want to point out to you for those who act like they love the game. Kobe Bryant scores 81 points. 18 of them are on me. And the whole world teases me like all 81 were on me. I'll take it because Kobe Bryant's a legend. All up. Do you realize Enes Kanter got 39 of those 41 points scored on him? Did you know that?
So didn't know that.
When you hear somebody tease me about 81, remember, he got 39 scored on him last night.
I'm sorry to the Kanter family. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. on ESPN. Thank you, Nikola Vucevic. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of giving the people what they want is podcast exclusive content. Now, Jay, I've had the honor, the privilege of spending a little time with you the last couple weeks because, you know, you've been on the East Coast and I went to Detroit. And I was looking over your shoulder, your phone. I'm not like reading what you're writing or everything, but I'm just seeing what's up. Your font on your phone is like, it's so big. It's so huge. if any word is over like seven letters, it goes to the next line.
It does.
In a text message. Like, yo, you need some glasses. And you can freak the glasses.
Absolutely. And the TLY was on a different line.
Exactly. But yo, I'm gonna spin this as a good thing. Jalen, we all get older. We don't want to admit that we're getting older. You gotta look in the mirror sometimes to realize this. But Jalen, your fashion is so on point that I feel like once you're gonna get glasses, I know you are. All right, you're gonna get glasses or contacts, right? But I feel like you could freak the glasses. Like once you accept the glasses as part of your life, you get like 100 frames and have different ones for different outfits and different looks. Okay. Like I feel like glasses are gonna take you to the next level. What do you think?
I like what you did there. And when I'm killing the glasses game in 2021, I'm going to make sure I give you all of the credit for sparking that thought, like I give Rez the Ledge the credit for sparking the 360 waves. You're exactly right. The other day, I was in the kitchen, and I was trying to read the ingredients on some seasoning because I was cooking, right? And I was like, I can't really see it. First, I was underneath the kitchen light. I was like, I can't really see it. And I was like, you know what I'll do? I'll just walk by the window and get some of this sunlight, right? And so I'm standing there, and I'm just reading it in my own little world. And Troy walk in, my nephew. He's like, what is you doing? I'm like, I'm reading this. And as a matter of fact, tell me what it say.
You're lucky you got long arms because you got to hold stuff so far away from you to read it. I don't know. I think it's farsighted, but whatever. You're going to get to the doctor. The doctor's going to look at you like when you get your eyes checked, the doctor's going to be like, how have you even gotten this far? Like, how is this the first time you got your eye checked? They're about to take your license, dog. They're about to take your license. They're going to be like, truth be told, let me tell you something first, though. Is I had the luxury of playing some safe, masked up outdoor basketball with you like 3 months ago.
Yes.
You still got buckets.
Yes.
You couldn't see, but you still got buckets. You still got buckets. Couldn't see a thing. Still good from three. Still good from the post. Yeah, that's just muscle memory. Yeah. You just see the backboard. That's all you need to see is the backboard. You're like, that's all I need. I know the rim's in the middle of the bottom.
You're right. And for everybody who got love, I'll just let you guys know. I'm doing what they call a full physical probably next week. It's like 8 hours. Like, they don't give me breakfast. They don't give me lunch. I got to go to like two different places to check everything. My cholesterol, my testosterone, my heart.
Oh, you at the age, they're going to, you at the age, that's not all they're going to check, Jay. I don't know if you're ready for that. You're at a certain age in a man's life. I think it's like 44 or something. Look, you get the oil check.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of you, Jay, because listen, I'm proud of you. That's real good. That's real good game for the people that listen to this because I didn't get a physical. I did it before the pandemic, and I literally hadn't gone to the doctor without a problem. I think my entire adult life, I want to say. I'm not proud of that. Like, I'm ashamed. But you need to go get yearly checkups because there could be things happening under the surface that don't affect you. Like, doesn't hit your brain, but it's actually happening on the surface. So that's a really good game to give our audience. Make sure you get that done.
Absolutely. And we all have habits, whether you eat a lot of bread, eat a lot of cheese, eat a lot of fried fruit, whether you drink, whether you smoke or whatever. Like, we all have lifestyle habits. And it's important to go to the doctor and kind of get an update on your health. And usually a good time to do it, just do it around your birthday. That's when you can remember. Do it each year around your birthday. And look at Caris LeVert. He had something that could have been life-altering health-wise. Had he not gotten traded for the Nets, he wouldn't have known that it was a lump on his lung?
Kidney, yeah.
A lump on his kidney, right? And so these are the type of things that when you get in there early, you get a chance to check out. And lastly, I want to say this. I'm 48, Jacoby, and one of the things you got to do is make sure you're checking that prostate. Mm. And with technology, there were times, because I went and got a check when I turned 40 a couple of times. And I can't lie. I walked out of the office, and I was like Eileen's cousin in Menace to Society when he was walking off the porch, and he looked left and he looked right. That's kind of how I was. It was wet below the waist. I was like, oh my goodness. You know, I felt violated. And so what I do know now is with updated technology, they don't have to do the fingers in your backside. And I hope that's the plan for next week because I don't have the mentality that somebody putting their hands in my butt next week.
Oh, Okay, I think that's enough podcast exclusive for this week today. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.